Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the bonus episode of the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. In a moment, John Wright is going to fill you in about some more Bigfoot facts. This episode focuses on a forensic scientist named Melba Ketchum, who had some interesting theories about the smelly guy. Bigfoot, not John. But before that, I wanted to do a quick horrible review for myself here about a movie that I had just recently watched. The movie is called Stream. So, by the way, there's going to be some spoilers in this, so... You know, but not too bad. Okay. So Stream is a 2024 slasher film directed by Michael Levy and stars Jeffrey Combs, Danielle Harris, Tim Reed, and our guy, David Howard Thornton. The movie follows a family going on vacation and checking into a hotel. It's oddly pretty empty with only a handful of guests, but the Keenan family is determined to have a great time. Throughout the movie, there are four masked killers. You'll definitely know which one is David just by his mannerisms alone. And they're going around killing off guests in very different and gory ways. I won't go into the reason why. You'll have to see it for yourself. This film also features tons of cameos from Tim Curry to Felissa Rose, who played Angela in Sleepaway Camp, to the Candyman himself, Tony Todd, just to name a few. There's so many. I really enjoyed this movie. There weren't really any dull moments, and it did keep me on the edge of my seat for a while, so it's very suspenseful as well. I'm not going to rate it because that's Edgegrave's thing, but I will say it's definitely absolutely worth a watch. And if you're really looking in the, if you're really in the mood for a good slasher film, definitely check this out. So, without further ado, here's Johnny. Please don't sue me.
Good evening. You are entering a dimension where up is down, good is evil, and day is night. You've just made a wrong turn into the right headspace.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm going to spend the next few segments talking about Bigfoot evidence. Today, I want to talk about an article that was published back in February of 2013 by DeNovo Scientific Journal. In that journal, there was an article titled, Novel North American Hominids, Next Generation Sequencing of Three Whole Genomes and Associated Studies. Now, the study claimed that not only had they mapped the Bigfoot genome, but that Bigfoot was a subspecies of modern humans, which had broken off some 15,000 years ago. The report stated that Bigfoot was a human hybrid whose mitochondrial DNA came from a human female, and that his nuclear DNA came from an unknown male hominid. A hominid is a human-like creature and was kind of like the predecessors to modern-day humans. I look at this and I saw this and I was like, oh, wow, man, a scientist has proven that Bigfoot exists. Okay, maybe not. The scientist's name is Melba Ketchum. Melba is credited with this study. Her study, She came out and stated that she proved that Bigfoot is real. If her study proved that Bigfoot is real, then why are we still trying to prove that he or she still exists? Right now, I think what I want you guys to do is pause this segment. Do a look for Melba Ketchum, any articles that you can find that deal with DeNovo Scientific Journal or any DNA evidence in regards to Bigfoot. So pause right now. Welcome back. Most likely, there's not a whole lot of information for you to find. For those people that did not look, you probably just saved yourself about an hour or so of fruitless searching. So where did things go wrong? First thing I want to look at is Ketchum herself. Melba Ketchum is a doctor of veterinary medicine. She lives in Texas. She is a Bigfoot enthusiast. She's a veterinarian and runs a lab which does DNA sequencing for dogs. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Maybe the processes are similar, but I'm going to go out on a line and say that human DNA, dog DNA, not necessarily the same. Have you ever heard of the term confirmation bias? If you haven't, confirmation bias is when your evidence is kind of retrofitted to help verify a predetermined conclusion. So I'm going to throw out like a quick disclaimer here. I'm being really nice here, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt in regard to misleading people. So when I say confirmation bias, part of me says that I don't necessarily think she was doing that, but let's give her the benefit of the doubt here, right? Let's just say that it's possible that her enthusiasm kind of got the best of her. And maybe that influenced the manner in which Ketchum ran her investigation and interpreted the information from her investigation. I can't even tell you how many websites I've read, probably close to about 15, 20 articles in the process of doing research for this segment. One of the most informative sources that I came across was a thing called the Bigfoot Forum. So you could always pause this, go look it up. There's so many different searches. There's so many different discourses that take place on there. And it had so many different posts and so many different contributors. And this one particular day was based on just Ketchum's DNA results. One of the contributors, a person called Ridge Runner, was a geneticist. Ridge Runner gives a description of the process. He or she, doesn't state male or female, concluded that the process would take approximately 1 hour to complete. If this is true, then why did it take Ketchum 5 years to complete this process? For me, that reinforces in my mind that either she didn't know what she was doing, or maybe she was trying to retrofit or obfuscate or confuse what the results were going to verify. In this case, again, I'm going to come back to maybe she sort of skewed things in this predetermined fashion to verify her already existing conclusion, which was she was looking for Bigfoot, or maybe she had more nefarious ideas in mind. No, interesting. But John, the findings were published in De Novo Scientific Journal. Sounds legit, doesn't it? Maybe not. It's an online journal. And what we were able to find out is that it was purchased anonymously just prior to Ketchum's study being published. It was later learned that it was Ketchum herself who had purchased this particular online journal. For whatever reason, I got red flags and the word shady popping up in the back of my head. The only scientific study that actually appeared in the De Novo journal was Ketchum's. So the next question is, why did she buy this publishing company? Unfortunately, when you go searching, you find some articles, and most of those articles are going to tell you she wasn't able to. So the one article that I did find was by Ben Radford, and he wrote in there, and the article is entitled Bigfoot DNA Discovered at Last? And this was published February 14th, 2013. So it's like a day after. And it was on NBCnews.com. And in that article, he stated that she had been rejected by other respected scientific journals. So the only way that she could have possibly published her results is if she did it on her own. Now, after her results were published, Ketchum was contacted by a reporter by the name of Eric Berger. He worked for the Houston Chronicle. Now, what Eric had done was request some Bigfoot DNA samples. What he wanted to do was take those DNA samples and send them to an independent lab to see if he could get those tested. And to her credit, Ketchum does acquiesce to his request, and she does give him some of those samples. Now, when they are sent out and when Eric Berger gets them back, he notes in his article that the results showed that the DNA actually belonged to that of a possum. Now, once he published that, Ketchum then has to respond. Her response was, Berger's study was flawed. My study is a legitimate study. There's no credibility in his study whatsoever. There's jealousy out there. She would go on to eventually accuse Berger of switching the samples in an attempt to discredit her and her lab. Now, I did look and I found an article which was published on skeptic.com, and it was written by Donald Brothero. And the title of the article was Bigfoot DNA ? Playing possum ! In that article, Donald goes on to talk about how Ketchum's lab had received an F rating from the Better Business Bureau. Now, if you go online and you take a look, what is it that would get you that sort of rating? Dirty lab, poor practices, poor storage, those types of things. Since the publication of her results, a number of scientists actually did come forward and did want to take a look at her work, and they will present their ideas. One of those was originally part of her team. This guy's name was Richard Stubstad. Richard was an engineer, and he wound up releasing results of the Ketchum study a year ahead of time. The reason why he did this is because he didn't agree with what he believed were her predetermined conclusions. Now, because he did not necessarily buy into what she was talking about, she wound up getting lawyers. The lawyers got in the way, and they wound up removing him from the program. In 2011, he does an interview with Robert Lindsley. In that, Lindsley asks Stubstad, if he was forced out of the program for not signing, was he forced out of the program for not signing an NDA, a non-disclosure act? He responded by saying, no, I had signed an NDA way back in January of 2010, but Dr. Ketchum threw us out anyway. We all signed NDAs and all obeyed them. He continued, even before I was thrown out, my NDA had expired, so I'm not on the hook for anything. I think she wants to make this a one-woman show. Now, when asked about her motivations, he hinted that there might be a financial motive behind it. When asked how he thought the project would go, he said that, and it's kind of sad because he does die in 2012, so he never gets to see if his prediction comes true. But here's a direct quote. I'm uncertain about it. For one thing, it's apparently a one-woman show, and these papers usually have more than one author. How will a one-woman show go over with peer reviews? For another, I feel that she may overreach and make too many unwarranted generalizations or speculations in this piece. We may have another Lloyd Pye, that's the guy with the star child, and he goes on, we may have another Lloyd Pye on our hands. Now, another gentleman who got involved in this is a name that I'm actually going to talk about in the next segment, Dr. Jeff Meldrum. He was interviewed by the Huffington Post, and he told that reporter to make an end-around run around the process by erecting a facade in the form of a so-called new journal and allege it is edited and reviewed without providing any of that information on a public web page. It appears that she has undertaken an effort to self-publish just to get the information out there. He's followed up by another gentleman, Dr. Todd Disotel. He is the head of the NYU Molecular Anthropology Laboratory. Now, he comes at it from a totally different direction. His direction is going to be based upon the idea of this thing having broken off from humans somewhere around 15,000 years ago. So during an interview with Monster Talk podcast, he dismissed Ketchum's idea of Bigfoot breaking off from humans as recently as 15,000 years ago. His reason being is it's too short of a period of time for such a large number of diverse characteristics to develop. So as species adapt, it's going to take place over a much, much longer period of time. We're talking like 100,000 years as opposed to 15,000 years. And he said, based on the discrepancies between humans and a Bigfoot, big, hairy, all that stuff, and the sheer size of them, it makes it sort of, I don't want to say impossible, but improbable that they would have broken off somewhere around 15,000 years ago. It would have had to take place a much, much deeper into the past than what they're saying. There are more arguments that can be made. There's more evidence that can be brought forward. And all of these things will contradict what Dr. Ketchum and her lab have concluded. In the end, I think Richard Stubstad said it best. Ketchum overreached, and I'm going to say at best, she overreached. She did because maybe her enthusiasm got the best of her, and she was hoping to prove that Bigfoot was real. At worst, she did it because she wanted to deceive people and make money off of it. In the end, you kind of hope maybe the enthusiasm won out here. If you believe I'm wrong and you'd like to prove it, guys, I have no problem. If I am wrong, I'm the first person to admit it. So if you have something, evidence, whatever, that backs up that point of view, reach out to me, let me know. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about some different things in regards to what could potentially be the greatest evidence of the existence of Bigfoot. So until next time, keep your mind in the right headspace.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.